Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you like electric cars, because that's what we're talking about today. We have a very exciting announcement to those of you who don't follow Randy on Twitter or the YouTubes on other places. Randy, what's the announcement? I'll give you the honors.
Oh, thank you. I am a Model 3 owner!
Yay! Congratulations!
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations.
You. Nick is here also.
He
How
did
are you,
beat
Nick?
Us to it. Oh, I exist. Thank you, guys.
I exist. I'm Hi, relevant. Nick. Please,
so,
listen to me.
We have tons of things to talk about today.
Oh, yes.
And one of them we were just talking about literally right before we started recording this podcast is the charging situation with the Model 3, which you're finding a little bit of a dilemma for. I think everyone kind of finds their own solutions with the Tesla side of things. But
yes.
what's the dilemma for charging at your place, Randy?
So my dilemma is that I'm all capped out with wattage in my condo. So quick backstory, we own this condo. Mm-hmm. This is my house, or this, you know, this is, I'm not renting basically. So I can do pretty much whatever I want to do to it. Mm-hmm. Problem is, when I got in contact with an electrician to get a Tesla wall connector installed, he wanted me to take photos, get dimensions, how far away from where I want to put the mount to where it is from the electrical box and all that stuff. After I did all that and I sent it back to him, he got back to me and he said, he's like, all right, well, good news, bad news. Bad news first is that you're all capped out because I have an AC unit. I have a washer and dryer, dishwasher, and I have an oven.
Okay.
I'm capped, you know?
Yeah.
So they said we can go in and put more and we have to like go underground basically and do all that. But they're telling me it's going to cost, you know, just entry minimum is like $4,000 to $4,500 to do.
Ooh. Like, I thought you were going to say million.
$4.5 million.
So basically have
my
to
dilemma,
rebuild the house.
Yeah,
exactly. Start
with,
over.
With all this money that I am, have already put down, which is a lot, and we'll go over detail. I'm going to do a quick plug. I didn't. This is pre. This Ooh. Was not premeditated, but
plug,
I have a
no
new channel.
Intended.
No, no. New channel called The Tesla Experience. You can find it if you go to my Twitter. Actually, if you go to the podcast handle, Drew even retweeted it. Just you'll find it or follow. Go to my handle or go to YouTube. It's The Tesla Experience. I'm documenting everything from the moment I put in the order. I'm lifetime document. Even I did some stuff today. I am documenting the process about things that I didn't really see on YouTube. So that way, it's a journal for me, and it's a reference for everybody else, just so we kind of have a bit of a blueprint, because things are always subject to change.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
Yes, well, thank you, Randy.
Awesome, awesome. One thing that's not subject to change, though, is this whole electrician thing, because my dilemma is, do I put more money down just so I can future-proof my house to be more compatible? Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to be living here long term. I'm not selling it. I will rent it out.
Yeah.
And so I have a decision to make about, do I put it in? How much value does it add to my house now? How much more can I rent it out for? Because if tenants are not even going to have an electric vehicle, they might not be interested. But maybe I can address a new target audience or demographic of people who want to move in. So that's something I have to figure out. For the time being, though, what we were just talking about right before we record was, I know a lot of people, and we were all talking about, that people just use the regular outlet.
Right.
The same thing what we did when we were up there visiting you.
Quite a few people do that. I've been watching different Tesla YouTube channels and I've seen a lot of. Now, I'm no electrician. Here's where I was about to butt in. I'm no electrical guy. And I know that obviously if you have the NEMA 1540 outlet, you can charge at around 30 miles an hour. And if you charge via the standard 110, it's typically like, you know, 2 to 3 miles an hour. We got more for some reason, somehow. I don't know how.
It all depends on the temperature.
Right, right. So if it's in a good temperature and it doesn't need to run the fans, I think we got like 6 miles an hour, which is pretty good if you think about it. Like overnight, that's an easy, because it's not like when you get home, you instantly fall asleep. And then as soon as you wake up, you drive. So that's like a good 10 hours. You get 60 miles a night. And as long as you're not driving 60 miles a day, you could probably keep it filled like that. And I don't think most people do. So it's feasible as long as the temperatures are in good condition. But here's my question. Why is there no way for the Tesla charge cable that they include in the Model 3 to somehow plug into 2 110 outlets simultaneously and feed that into a converter? Because that's how it is now. like you either have the 1540 plug or you have the standard 110 outlet, that the same thing you charge your phone with. But those 110 outlets always come in couples, you know, whether inside or outside, there's two of them.
Yeah.
Why isn't there a way they could plug into two and maybe speed it up so that maybe in those days where it's cold or hot and the fans need to run and the range would normally be charging at, you know, 2 to 3 miles an hour, with the two plug idea concept I have, this is my startup company. you could get 6 miles an hour.
The Talosive plug.
Yes. This is my idea. The Talosive plug that plugs into two 110s at the same time.
Patent impending.
TM. And when it's a good day and there's good weather, you'd be getting like 12 miles an hour. I mean, it's not ideal. I know it's not as good as the NEMA 1540. Maybe that's not possible for some reason. I don't know.
So one of my friends a long time ago was an electrical engineer, and he kind of explained the difference between watts and volts.
Okay.
But I don't remember them right now, what the difference is. So someone else fact check me on this, but there is a difference between 110 volts and watts and something or other and ohms or something. And so like both of those plugs are still just going to one cable to the fuse box. So I think it's a fuse box limitation as much as it is. It's more of a fuse box limitation as much as it is just the plug on the wall.
Okay.
But I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
That's my impression.
I would not be surprised
Nick
at all.
And Sweeney.
To me, it seems too obvious that no one would have thought of it by now. So to me, it's like there must be something wrong with that flaw. I'm sure someone listening to this may know what that flaw is. Keep it to yourself. I don't care. I'm sure there's something wrong with that
just
idea.
Just buy a product.
Well, you have to understand that it's connected to the same wire, and that means that it can't drop. Okay. I believe you. I'm just saying.
Here's my thing. I don't know why I can't just unplug my dryer when I'm not using
it. That's what I'm saying. You don't need your dryer plugged in at all times, right?
Like, I know.
You plug it in once a week.
Right,
Brittany's going to love that.
I was like, well, I think I was telling Drew that most of my stuff I don't dry in the dryer either way because I'm trying to preserve the life of my clothes. Like, I'm very frugal like that, where it's like air drying jeans saves the life of the jeans a lot longer. I don't want things to shrink and all that stuff. So it's like I just air dry a lot of my stuff either way. Anything that's like wrinkly, I iron it. So I only use the dryer to, oh my God, that's not even true either. I was like, oh yeah, for like when I'm washing blankets and stuff, but no, towels. I use the dryer for towels mostly and socks and stuff like that. But
I say you unplug the dryer, and when you need to dry off your clothes, you put them in the Tesla and turn on the heater while it's charging, and then it heats up the clothes. It dries off.
I'll put the fireplace mode on. So
romantic mode, and you just throw a bunch of clothes in there. You're a very, very frugal Model 3 owner.
Don't compromise on the battery was my only objective. And
you didn't get the peasant one. You got the
I did not get the peasant
upgraded
one.
Model 3.
Yeah, which Model 3 did you get? Let's talk about that.
Yes, I got the all-wheel drive long range because there's only one now, and it's that version for long range, which is the 310 miles one, and black exterior, black interior, and black rims, so everything is just standard.
Okay.
At the cost of being out the door, I did not buy enhanced full self-driving, and I did that.
What made you do that?
Because I'm lowering my monthly payments because I am taking out a loan. I want my monthly payment to be as low as possible. And I have the money for it right now. But as of recording this episode for this podcast, June 15th, if you buy it up front, it's $6,000 up front to get the full self-driving. If you want to add it later, it's $6,000. It doesn't change.
There's no added price. Yeah, I noticed that. They changed it again. So, and it is subject to change. So don't assume it's going to be like that forever. But as of the time being, if you're like very, very close to buying a Model 3, Yeah, let the record state as of today, June 15th,
yeah.
If you buy it before or after, it's the same price, which is kind of cool.
It's the same price. So I'm going to put it on my credit card instead, so that way I'm a points.
Get damn points,
boy. Yeah, I'm a points kind of guy. I like getting points back, cash back, upgraded first class, all that stuff. So I was strategic in the sense that, wait a minute, I get a lower monthly payment and I get points back. I made it my rule. My only rule is that I was not going to do anything I could not afford to pay up front right now, with the exception of the whole price of the vehicle.
That's a good rule.
So I made sure that every add-on I was going to put on the car was only going to happen if I can pay for it in cash today.
Mm. Right.
And when I
smart.
Added up...
Very smart.
It's... You got to be smart when you're making a purchase like this. Don't go out there and put yourself in debt for it. I'm not advocating anybody.
So
buy...
don't be like Nick, is what you're saying. Thank
don't
you.
Don't be Nick.
Don't get those leases.
Don't go buy every Apple product.
But the 512 gigabyte iPhone is important to human civilization.
No, to put it in perspective, Randy, you could get full self-driving or the new Mac Pro.
Ooh,
full self-driving. Or full self-driving.
You could get 6 Pro stands.
6 Pro stands are very useful.
I'll take the Pro stands.
Yeah. Someone else is like, "Wow, my car can drive itself." And Randy's like, "But do you have 6 Pro stands?" No,
but
I didn't think so. But it
the
swivels
swivel
up and down 6 inches. And you can turn it around in case you want to spend $6,000 on a monitor that you'll code on, text.
There you go.
It's going to be really helpful color calibration and dynamic range.
My only rule is that if I can bring you to my feet and summon you on my phone, I'll get you. So, yeah, I'm gonna. When I did the math, I was like, okay, full soft driving, maybe the white interior, maybe the silver or the metallic space gray thing. I was like, and then, that was too much. And then my monthly payments would have been completely... close to $1,000, and I was like, ooh, I'm not about that. So I even though I plan, I allot to spend maybe about $1,000 a month towards the car just so I can pay it off quicker. I want the wiggle room to not be able to have to worry about it.
Sure.
Because the way you take out a loan, if you're buying for a car and you take out a loan, you're not, by paying more to the loan every month, you're not lowering your monthly payment. You're only lowering it for that next billing cycle. So effectively, at one point, you can buy yourself a free month or 2 free months or 3 months. But if you just constantly grind and just drop like a higher amount towards it, if I, knock on wood.
And you pay less interest.
If something happens. Yeah. But if something happens and I'm like, I'm SOL out of income for a while, then at least I bought myself a couple months free of that car either way. So I'm trying to be extremely smart about this because I don't like being in debt, but this is not good debt. This is not buying a house
of
debt. So everything it tells me is like I did something really stupid, like my intuition. It's like, like I did something I'm very much against, but at the same time, this is my dream car. This is my dream tech thing, and I have the support of my loved ones. So I was like, all right, well,
if
you guys
support
me, then... Everybody.
He wasn't talking to you, Drew. He was talking to
me. Wait. I assumed that was...
I don't know.
No, I was going to say that...
All of a sudden, now Nick and Drew are interested in hanging out with me more often. I don't know. It must have been the new haircut I got. I don't know.
We were going to say we're very happy for you, and I have noticed it's very difficult to find someone who bought a Tesla and regrets it.
That is very true.
Not a common thing to notice.
The only time you lose money is if you only hold on to it for a very short period of time. Everyone who's bought a Tesla and held it for a long period of time is like, the thing literally makes you money at one point, because now everything that all those upfront costs, you'll recoup it in a couple months.
Yeah, yeah.
Easily. No more gas. Today, and I documented this for the channel, the Experience Channel one, the Tesla Experience. Today was the last day I put gas in a car, and I documented
it.
I was like, Brittany, record this. So I was like, my last $15 I'm ever going to put towards gas again.
No, it's totally like, I don't even see it as a car in a lot of ways, because I'm not a car person at all. I do not care about cars. And I've never really have in my whole life. I've never been interested in different cars. And to me, they've always just been like we were talking about Louis Vuitton handbags. It's just a different style. There's just cars with different styles, and there's ones that work that are affordable, and there's ones that are that work and are very expensive. But because I'm more of a tech guy and more of a, you know, into the phones and tablets and computers, that's what's bringing out this fascination with the Tesla brand, is that it's the first car company that is thinking more like, you know, a Silicon Valley type company. It's thinking more like an Apple. You know, that's why I don't see it as like, I know it is a car, but I don't see it as buying a car. I see it as like you're buying into basically the future experience of transportation. Like, this is what it's going to be. And this is the only company that has an actual grasp on that reality. And I don't feel like many other companies do. They may try, but all other car companies, at least right now, in my opinion, are just still car companies. Whereas this is the first one that's like different from everything else.
Tesla has to, they have to put the investment in all electric, because every other car company has like level 2 or level 3 like tier of chargings and stuff like that, but no car has, no other manufacturer has like a supercharger equivalent yet. I hear that Mercedes or Audi's working on it or something, but it's not there. Or BMW, like one of those premiums are working on it, but nobody else is there because they have other alternatives. Tesla, you buy a Tesla because you are buying into that vision and that future, that promise of full autonomy and amazing quick charging networks that's all over the country at this point. No other car does that, because you have all these hybrids. You have like the Chevy Volt, which is like, oh, it's cheaper and it's all electric, but then when it depletes the battery, it turns to gas. It's just like, it becomes a little bit more, not gimmicky, but just like, it's not as impressive. Nobody has over a 310-mile range on a battery. Nobody else has the full sustainability of like over the air updates, networks, and constantly improving. You get software updates like a phone.
And I think the biggest updates are still yet to come. That's what's jaw dropping to me, is you're buying a car that you're getting in a few days that will, down the road, it may not be on time when Elon claims it is, but has everything necessary to drive itself. That's insane.
Yep.
That is actual insanity. And it's like, the laws aren't ready yet. Maybe the software is not ready yet, but the hardware is there. And it's just going to take basically some lines of code and a click of a button to one day you're going to wake up and you're going to hear that announcement's been made and we've figured it out and it's ready. Here's the update. Press install. And now, boom, you don't have to touch the wheel anymore. Like, that blows my mind further than anything Apple has done in a decade, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly, that's huge. And you're right that no one has touched the range on the Teslas. If you look at the competition in the electrical department, and I also don't think anyone, maybe with the potential exception of Rivian, but I almost don't count them because they haven't started selling their cars yet, but no other car manufacturer does exclusively electric. All of them have previous histories with gas, or are, you're right, they have like 2 gallon tank in case the electrical goes out, so you still kind of have the backup because the range is not that reliable. Tesla's thinking like the Apple, you know, Apple removes the headphone jack or switches to Lightning or USB-C, because they're like, no, this is the future. We're going to embrace it now. There's no back door. There's no safety net. This is how it's going to be, because if there's no plan B, then you're going to make sure plan A works, and you're going to make sure plan A works well. That's why they have such unbeatable ranges in the software updates. And but from just a personal preference point, design, I think, is so far ahead everyone else. You like, I've seen other electric cars that have been launched by other companies. It is very difficult to get excited about them, in my opinion. Like, you see those e-trons or you see those Leaves, and you're like, it's just a car. It just looks like a car. Why would I? Nothing about it special. Even the Rivian. I saw the inside of the Rivian, and it looked like, obviously,
there's a button and dials, and
I mean, they had the big display. I could tell they were heavily borrowing design cues from Tesla. But at the same time, it's almost like when you go to a Best Buy and pick up like a giant Android tablet. You're like, you tried. But it's not it's not the same thing. To me, that's why I've updated all my bios across my different social media now, to say I show my bias towards Apple and Tesla, because I'm realizing that it's more than just it's electric, and it's more than just it drives itself. It's like there's a design scheme and there's a motivation behind what they're doing that surpasses simple tech specs in other ways. Like
Tesla has everything to lose in with that with that whole, if it doesn't work through, is like if you act like if, maybe if you actually had something to lose, you'll act like you have something to lose. They're putting effectively all their eggs in this basket that like, no, electric driving and full self-driving, this is the future, this is where we're going.
Right.
And you know it's working when you see everybody else play catch up. So now people are like, oh, they're flawed. I remember seeing all the diss that they were getting, all the hate, all the they're not a real company.
They shouldn't,
you know, everybody was just pooping on them for years. And, and effectively, even though I'm still now, they're like, they're not profitable. Blah, 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 and they're just upset because it's like,
well, it's
easy working.
I mean, it's easy to think that way because car companies do not start often, you know. The most popular car companies today are coming up on like 100 years old. We're talking they've been around.
The last profitable car company ever to go public was Ford 100 and something years ago.
Oh, yeah. Like this company does not get new players often. So as soon as a new startup, you know, I'm sure I probably would have agreed with people when the original Roadster came out. I would have been like, eh, okay, that's a neat toy, but I doubt that company will ever turn into something mainstream because you're right, Nick. That's so rare. It never happens. Particularly, that's just a car company in general. Now talk electric car only. Like not only are they a new car brand, they're also trying to drastically change, you know, with the charge network and the lithium battery production and the gigafactories and the self-drive. They're tackling three giants simultaneously, and it's hard enough to tackle just one, just to be a startup car company that can compete. And I think they know probably that if they just stuck with one thing, they probably wouldn't survive. They need the interest of all three. They need the interest of the people who want it because it's electric and want it because of the technology and want it because of the performance, whether it's the speed or the acceleration and the stuff like that. It's like you can't just pick one. You can't just be like, well, I think Honda's launching some kind of electric vehicle now that's really affordable. But no one cares because it doesn't have the performance or it doesn't have the it may have some kind of autopilot features, but still you need all three of those things to sell a big enough market to keep their company alive. So,
well, you need more than just those three things. Like just every little challenge that Tesla's had to face, they've really figured out the market well. So like the charging network, something that's really holding back all the other, like you mentioned, like all these other companies, they don't have charging networks, but Tesla has said, Elon Musk has said that their charging network is open and available.
Right.
Like anyone who wants to use the Tesla charging network can. They just have to, you know, support the fast charging and, you know, a few other things.
Right.
But it's not like Tesla's trying to be exclusive. All of their patents are open source.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not. That's why Tesla is one of my favorite companies. Like they're not out there to be the biggest company or
and kill everyone else.
They're not there to dominate the market. They're there.
They're going to though
to accelerate the adoption of electric vehicles.
Yeah,
I'm stuttering like Elon Musk. I've been listening to him too much.
What we tried to do here is build a car
submarine car.
Is fast and references Spaceballs. Great movie. Great movie. But
watch this karate kick.
Did you guys check up on any of their earnings event?
Yeah, I listened to the whole thing twice.
That was
pretty boring.
Wow. Well,
was so boring, and you listened the second time.
No, I am boring.
Yeah,
I am boring.
I have no idea what's going on.
I didn't watch the whole event, but I watched a ton of videos about the event that summed it up for me.
There you go. It was a good event. It was the annual shareholders meeting, so it happens once a year. Apple does the same thing too, but Apple doesn't live stream it or record it
because they know no one cares,
and because. Well, because they know that it's a bunch of old guys asking Tim Cook how to use their iPhone. That's literally like every single time.
Tim,
Apple
how do I
has their,
change it to
earnings.
The front-facing camera?
Exactly. Some old guy's like, well, you know, I really think a good feature would be to change the wallpaper on the back of the phone, allow users to change the wallpaper. And Tim Cook's just
plus
like,
Apple always
that's
makes
a really
like
good
ten,
idea. We've
We'll get right on that.
And Apple makes tens exactly. of billions of dollars every quarter, so it's not really a surprise anymore. Whereas Tesla's profit yeah. margin is kind of in question. It's kind of like, so did it you is. Make money yet? They're like, well, not yet, but we're getting there.
they're on the track to success. So I kind of look at it in a few different ways. Like, they could have pursued the fast profitability
yeah.
and not invested so much in this charging network and not invested a lot in their Gigafactory or whatever. They could have pursued a profitability much faster.
Sure, sure.
But they chose not to. They chose to invest in very expensive charging networks, very expensive. They have 3 Gigafactories they're working on right now. Mm-hmm. They have their Fremont factory. They have all these R&D expenses that they're bleeding money because they know that long term that's the only way they're going to survive.
It's true. I don't think they could have survived if they would have just focused on the quick profit.
No, if they were just like, okay, we went from Roadster, we're going to make Model S and Model X and Model 3 and not do Gigafactory and not do the charging network and not do Powerwall,
then they couldn't get the battery price down. And they wouldn't exactly. have the charger network support that they have currently, mm-hmm. which in
exactly.
a lot of cities, if you look at channels that document the Tesla experience a lot, like, you'll know that in the big cities, there will be lines at superchargers. Mm-hmm. As in, like, exactly. yes, they've done a great job with the charger network, but in a lot of places, it's still not enough. They still need yeah. to keep going. Well, yeah. They got to keep building them.
Absolutely. And those V3 chargers will help a lot with that. Mm-hmm. But, like, every little thing that they've done is just adding to this amazing company
master
like
plan.
Apple's never really done it like this. Yeah, it's almost like a Polymatter video playing out right in front of us. It's beautiful. He needs to do that.
The only
Polymatter.
Way to ensure
get on
that the Model 3's network will succeed is if there's a network. Brilliant.
So I'm gonna say this here yeah, and yeah. now. So when Polymatter does this next week, I can say that it was my idea originally. You need to get on a Tesla Grand Theory of Tesla. Please do that.
It'd be fascinating.
I would love that. I think he made an Elon Musk video a while ago. I vaguely remember.
He probably
that.
Did. Maybe but yeah. did. So okay. one thing I wanted to talk about was while we're on the topic of the
so Randy,
event.
Tell me about your.
Tell us more about the rims you're getting.
No, the earnings report. He answered a few questions about the pickup truck.
Oh, yeah.
Which is coming mm-hmm. soon.
Yep, yep.
And I think this is like the last big piece of the puzzle. And mm-hmm. everything else after the pickup truck is like just like diversifying, basically. It's like mm-hmm. it's yeah. expanding on what's already been done. They said, you know, the Model Y they think is going to sell better than the 3, and I think there's a great chance of that happening because price-wise.
No, he said the 3, the S, and the X combined.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about
that's
that.
That's the demand they're anticipating for. That, Elon said that on stage. All of their cars
right.
combined.
They're
going to sell more Ys.
I wonder how many S's and X's are selling nowadays.
Not many.
I imagine it's not that much in comparison to the 3, but. Yeah,
honestly,
I
wouldn't
see...
be surprised if they shut down the S and X line at some point.
Ooh.
Like, I could totally see this one the next
no
5
way.
Years.
I don't think
no
so.
Way.
Nick, yes. they're working no on a Roadster. Why would they shut down the S and the X?
Well,
come on.
After, fine.
The X is the perfect SUV, and the
it
S
is the perfect
is...
SUV, but it's a Fabergé egg, and he said they're never going to update it because it was too much work. Elon is just like
they just
yeah,
updated
we spent
it like
way too much time
a month ago.
Well, okay, that's like a MacBook Pro getting a new CPU upgrade.
You mean not like
that's
a
not
giant
like
design
a
change.
Refresh? Like yeah, that not like the 16-inch MacBook Pro that
yeah,
we're
that's
rumored.
Different.
You know.
So like, you're saying
that's,
like
he said that's not going to happen because it was too complicated. They spent too much time engineering the doors, and they've engineered a new type of ultrasonic sensor and radar that can see through metal because they didn't want to have the little ultrasonic circles on the outside of the car
oh.
on the X.
Yeah, that was a big
so
complaint.
They engineered ultrasonic. It was a huge no. So they just spent so much time on this Model X, and obviously that technology is great, and I'm glad they spent that time there. In hindsight. But I don't understand why they'd want to do that again. doesn't seem very valuable.
I think the
because
S
because it's the perfect SUV.
Yeah, I think the S and X.
But no
are,
one's buying it though.
I mean, when we say no one, we're referring to the market that buys the Pro Display. You know, it's like we know you're
exactly.
there, but you're not big enough to be considered, you know, mainstream. So
we don't talk about you
when you see a Model X driving down the road, and you don't live in California. It's still like
you just see dollar bills flying out of the back.
It's an event, you know. You're like, whoa, there goes a Model X. it's not like...
Which is sad because all I see is Model X's. I see more Model X's than S's or 3's combined.
That's why I said out of California.
And I'm in the suburb area of San Diego. It's I feel like it shouldn't be like that here, but they're just driving around and I see them all drive towards downtown. I'm like, wow, that is the most popular Tesla vehicle is the X here. Because they're all family vehicles and everybody wants their family vehicle.
They're probably all leasing them.
You know, So I'll say this.
Probably.
The city that my parents just moved to, which I won't specify by name, but it's a small city out in the middle of nowhere.
New York City.
I literally have not seen a Tesla on any of the roads in like 2 weeks.
I believe you.
There are no Teslas out here. There's one supercharger in like
I believe you if you told me you don't
miles.
Have LTE out
it's
there.
So sad. I have a wonderful LTE. I don't know what you're talking about. I get 50 down and 90 up.
It's like in the past. You'll be in the past by the people like, yeah, I just got this brand new phone. It's called the iPhone 5S. And you can also get it in a 5C. That's
ooh.
That's where it's at.
Model
yeah, I'm
C.
pretty sure they're still showing the movie Up in movie theaters.
Well, that's good. I'd rather watch that
it's a great
than
little town.
Toy Story 4.
I think it's nice. It's just not my speed. I'll be getting out of here for sure. Need to get back to them Teslas.
Yeah, New York City's a small town.
We were just back in Denver a couple days ago, and I was like, oh my gosh, a Tesla. Oh my gosh, another Tesla. Hey, I'm home. Please, let me touch
That's
it.
That's why I believe you when you say there's no Teslas, because you would know if there was one in the area.
Yeah, no. I've driven on these roads for 2 weeks now.
You would
no
pick
Teslas.
It up by scent. You would
exactly.
You would smell it.
No, actually, I do. Like a Model 3, I'll be like sitting at like a stoplight, and I just see something whiz by, you know, going in the other direction because they have a green light and I'm at a red light, and it'll just be like, oh, that's a Model 3, and I'm like. I wasn't even like staring in that direction. How did I know that? And I'll look over and it's like a Model 3. And I'm like, wow, Nick, good job.
What I find fascinating is that
I am obsessed.
Before the Model Y came out, all Teslas had different doors and door handles.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, good point.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
So now that the Model Y exists, there are officially two Teslas with the same door handle.
What did the Roadster have? I can't even remember.
Have you ever seen the inside of an original Roadster?
It was just a Lotus. It was it was just a Lotus.
It
yeah,
just looks like a regular car. It's so weird.
Well, it is a Lotus. They took a Lotus, something other, like whatever it's called.
I don't know what a Lotus is, Nick.
It's a luxury performance car. They just didn't put the engine and gas tank in. They
well, it had a tiny touchscreen
motor in a front.
But it did have a touchscreen.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just so weird to see a Tesla that I've been watching videos about the original Roadster, and it has kind of a curve, like a wind capturing, you know, curve right next to the door. And inside that curve, there's the little button that you press to open the door. So it's not like the S. Oh, it's not like the X. It's not like the 3. It does have its own unique door handle. And from what I've seen at car shows now, the new Roadster does not have a door handle at all. There's a tiny little strip of glass on the center beam that you swipe down on and the door just opens. Which I can already imagine there being problems with, like if it got cold and froze over, like how would you swipe over?
Your fingers.
I don't know.
Your fingers are wet.
The Touch ID doesn't work.
Exactly.
I need Face ID on my Roadster.
I don't love the doors, but I don't care, whatever. What I was meaning to talk about was some of the specs Elon is giving us on the pickup truck, which is actually giving me really, really excited for these kind of specifications that seem too good to be true. But during this podcast he did with this one creator after the earnings event, he said that they want to start the pickup truck just under $50,000, preferably lower, which is really not that much in comparison to what they charge for the 3 and the Y. So he's saying $49,000, like maximum. He would like to go lower, but I'm sure he would always say that. So I'm just going to say we'll start at $49,000. And the most interesting part about it is he talked about the range on Twitter in the past and then said that there would likely be a 400 to 500 mile range on the pickup truck, which
has a huge battery.
Is insanity. And he even answered a question during the earnings report where people asked him about when will a 400 mile range Tesla be available. And he said very, very soon. And then he also said that 400, 500 thing about the pickup truck. which is important for truckers because, for one, they tow a lot of things and they carry a lot of extra weight. So having that extended range would be a really, really good selling point. I think it would also make sense to release it now because with the gigafactories revving up production, they'll be able to get prices of lithium batteries in the Tesla cheaper. So in the end, I think there's a good chance that between all the cars they've been selling outright now, the pickup truck might be the best bang for range for your buck, essentially, out of all the models. Even if it ends up not being 400 standard, even if it was just something close to that, to get anywhere near 400-mile range on a Tesla right now, you have to get, like, the long-range Model S, which is...
Yeah, so the long-range Model S is 370, so it's not that far off, honestly.
No, they're not far, but it's also... That model, I think, is, like, $80,000. So the fact that we're just talking about, like, a $49,000 to $60,000 car with a 400-mile range is going to be, I think, a massive difference. Yeah, $85,000 for the Model S with 370 miles.
Yikes.
But this just gets me even more excited for the pickup, to be honest, knowing that.
Is the Model S the longest, the one with the longest battery?
If you're not counting the Roadster, which I normally don't.
I'm not counting the Roadster.
Yeah. As in what you can buy today, yes, the Model S has the longest range. But I couldn't sleep last night because I was watching those videos about how they said it would be, he even said it would be a six-seater truck.
Really?
And it would have a range somewhere between 400, 500, and on the tweet he said maybe more. And when I hear that, you know, from a critical point of view and looking at the competition, I say, oh, he probably doesn't mean that. He's probably rounding up. Maybe he's not referring, you know, to the base model. He's talking about the upgraded all the way range. But I decided to do something kind of Ann Sweeney-ish this morning, and I watched the Model 3 unveiling. Back from 2016, because I hadn't watched it again since, you know, I watched it live back in the attic days a long time ago when it first came out. And some of the data they presented for the Model 3 was surprisingly underselling it back at that event.
Yep.
You'd be surprised because most companies like Apple, you know, when they talk about the Mac Pro, they talk about the 28 cores or the 1.5 terabytes of RAM. Of course, they put everything to the maximum and then say, you know, here's all the maximum specs, here's the starting price, to kind of get people a little bit deceived and get their hopes up a little bit. So you only see the best of the best and the cheapest of the cheap. When they announced the Model 3, guess what they said the range was? Do you remember?
I don't. 300 miles.
They said 215 was the range.
What?
Wow.
Which
that's
now,
where you that's what the S was.
Even it's 240 for the standard.
The standard range plus is 240. If you call in that special $35,000 one, it's 220. Even though the battery pack could theoretically support 240, they didn't even mention during that entire event that the Model 3 would be capable of going over 300 miles. They never brought that up.
Wow.
All Elon said was these are the base numbers, you know, you'll be able to upgrade it to be higher. So,
wow.
All I'm trying to say is, for a company, Tesla has done a very good job at not overselling the specs too much. I think one thing they might be known for is assuming things will be ready a little bit too soon. that's to be understood because...
Take your time. Make it perfect. Exactly. Take your time, please.
So timelines is something all companies are very fuzzy with, even Apple with AirPower and stuff like that. But and especially with cars as innovative and as
drastically different. Oh, don't worry. AirPower's coming.
We canceled it, but it's coming.
It's coming.
With the kind of drastic industry changes Tesla is making, I can understand why their timelines are known to be off sometimes. But in regards to just the raw specs, they are not known for overselling it. So when I hear Elon say 400 to 500 miles, I think there's reason to believe that's going to be very accurate, given at the launch event for the Model 3, where they were trying to sell everyone on this car. By the way, they got like over 100,000 reservations that night within an hour. That was with the advertisement of it would have 215-mile range. Now, here we are in 2019. There is no Model 3 with a 215-mile range. All of them are more than that. The cheapest one is 220. The one that you buy straight off the website is 240. The upgraded ones went 310, 325. Like, so I think there's reason to believe that there could be a $49,000 pickup truck with a range of 400 miles.
Definitely. Interesting.
Which is,
wow.
How did you do it? I don't know, but now I'm ready. I want my car even quicker now.
Well, this is what got me thinking. It made me wonder if it would be worth saving the money a little bit more. And that's where I pass the question off to you. If someone was looking to buy a Model 3 in about a year, let's say summer,
hypothetical
2020.
Someone.
Yeah, someone. Someone I don't know, just a made-up person, who's thinking of buying a Model 3 next year, and they want to get a Tesla with good range, is it worth waiting a little bit longer so that they could save up a little bit more and buy the base model pickup truck and get a 400-mile range out of it?
You have to remember the base models are never available at the beginning.
Right.
It's going to be at least a year until that base model is available.
Right.
So,
but we're talking a year from now,
too. When is the pickup supposed to come out?
He said summer, end of summer. So we're talking
that's when they'll be unveiled.
Yeah.
So it won't start production until after the Model Y.
Mm-hmm.
So the Model Y will enter into production in end of 2020, early 2021.
Right.
So maybe the model the pickup will start in the summer of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And a year from the first production vehicles, that's when you can probably expect the cheapest to come out. So that's the summer of 2022, which is 3 years from now.
It's a longer wait, for sure.
Hmm.
But think of the range you'd have on that car.
I would say if you are already saving for the Model 3 and this announcement comes in the process of all that and you're still waiting for that new pickup truck, it would only be worth it if, or let me say it like this, stick with the Model 3 if price is a factor, because we already know what you're working with based off of range on there. Right now we don't actually have the specifics of the truck. So if we're going off of just today, if price is like diehard factor, there's that. If you care about the battery, if the battery's your number one thing and you don't care about the size of the vehicle, then the pickup truck, if you can allot that budget, because you'll be paying a little bit more. But if the battery's your only like focus, get that. I think ultimately, if you're a truck guy or girl, get the truck. Like I have a friend, and she loves is trucks, and she has like this really big Chevy Silverado, excuse me, like the really big one, and she loves it, and she's been talking to me about it. She goes, I'm gonna wait to see what the Tesla has to offer for the pickup truck.
Oh wow,
I am fascinated with it. So much of it is mind boggling to me. Like I am,
yeah.
All the things he's been talking about, like. Not to downsell the Model Y, but it'll be a bigger event than the Model Y, I think. The Model Y was, like, important for the sales of the company, but it wasn't that exciting because it was really just a bigger 3. The pickup truck, there's, like, so many questions. There's so many design...
So many questions.
Yeah. There's so many design choices they could go with. Like, and he's openly said it doesn't look like, you know, most trucks. It looks... You know, it takes a different approach that maybe not everyone will like. It's meant to be a truck that's modern in 20 to 30 years from now. He's like, there may not be a great market for it, and I almost don't care. He's like, he's just been working on this design for the pickup for like 5 years now, and hearing that from Elon is just like, gets me so excited to see what they're actually working on in just a couple months. Like, I am way more excited for a pickup truck than I am the next iPhone.
Yes.
Well, also, he said that the pickup isn't... Some people are not going to call it a pickup. He said that during the earnings call.
Mm.
He's like, the design is so radical that a lot of people aren't going to think of it as a pickup or something like
right.
that. Like, it's going to be like a... It's not going to fit our current definition of a pickup.
Right.
Just like the Semi, like... The Semi doesn't look like a Semi. Mm. Like, it looks so futuristic. Looks like it just drove out of, you know, Doc Brown? DeLorean.
I don't know.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Pop culture. Insert pop culture reference here.
I mean, it kind of looks like a Semi. But
well,
I see what you're saying.
Sure. But I don't know.
It's the first semi that I've ever been excited to see. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
I've never looked at a semi truck and went, wow, that looks cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
I love how they sold the semi at this, you know, huge event that all these people went to. You know, none of them are going to buy it, but like it openly says on the website, badass performance. Like who puts semi truck specifications on a website and is like, but how quickly can the semi go 0 to 60? It's like, who
badass,
asked that?
That's how quick.
Like who ever imagined a semi truck with a dual monitor setup? Like
I would have not.
That
Elon
is
Musk.
That is just a genius right there. Just a giant, like, scrolling through the...
You can watch two Netflix shows at the same time.
Oh, yeah. I'm putting Twitter on one and Discord on the other, and then the car's going to drive itself. This is and why I'm just... actually going to wait for the semi-truck, you guys, because that's going into production there way sooner.
Oh, you think the semi's going to have dual monitors?
It does.
It does.
Yeah.
Go on the website.
The one that I saw did.
Wait, I'm sorry. Not semi. Sorry.
Oh, the pickup? No, I don't think so. Not if it's a six-seater. I think what they mean by six is three in the back and
three in the front.
Well, it'll be a center console between the driver and the passenger, but you'll be able to fold it upwards. See, a lot of people don't know this, but I actually have quite a bit of experience with trucks, which is why I have this bizarre interest in the truck. My first vehicle was a Ford Ranger. And then when I worked at the Mandarin Ranch, a car I had to drive basically every day was a Ford F-350. And it was enormous.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
It was huge. You had to climb into that thing. And my boss, because we hauled, you know, giant trailers and Mandarins or equipment all the time, I was constantly driving that thing for the work and when we were doing Mandarin deliveries. And that could sit six people because it had a huge center console with the cup holders and with different compartments and everything. But if you wanted a person to sit in the middle, you could easily just fold it up. And then there was comfortably, easily three seats in the back. So when I first pitched it to the people in the Discord, I was like, wait, they said it'll be a six-seater. They were like, what? How is that possible? I was like, no. The truck's been doing that for a while. But I just hope it's not the size of an F-350 because I hated driving that thing so much. It felt like driving a tank, and it was so scary to drive around. Like, I almost hope they put an accessible, viewable camera on the bumper on the front so that you can see how close you are to things you're driving around
In an Model 3 already measures that in inches, right?
Yeah, the radar would do it automatically, but I mean, you at least on a 3, because the front of it slopes down so much, you can see everything in front of you very easily. With a giant truck like the 350, it's very difficult to see because you're so high up. You're sitting like 5 feet in the air, basically, and you're just looking down at everything, and you're like, what am I looking at? What's there? I'm sure it'll have all the auto braking stuff, but... I don't know. Trucks are very functional. I always, you know, we've been moving so much, and I'm sure we'll move again. And we always have to ask someone else for a truck, and something about the practicality of it makes sense to me. Given, I mean, at this point in my life, it's just me and my wife. We want to have kids someday, but it's not going to be for a long time. So, I could see it totally being a very functional and yet futuristic and clean design. So I'm
are you thinking about getting the truck? You want the truck?
I won't confirm, mostly because of what Nick said, that you'd probably have to wait till like 2022 before the base model would be ready, and I don't even know what I'm gonna have for lunch today, so I'm not thinking that far. You know, I don't know where my channel will be. I don't know where my income will be. YouTube's a very unreliable paycheck month to month, so you can't, it's not like, you know, other jobs where you can estimate how much your income is going to be and reliably know how much you're going to be making in a year or two. So I can guess, but I think I'll definitely buy the Model 3 next year as my first real car. I mean, I have had cars in the past.
You had a toy car before. You wound it up in the back. And
they're very basic. They're, you know, as cheap as it gets in regards to what a car needs to be. It's basically four wheels in a motor. So the Tesla is like my first ever large car purchase, and maybe down the road, no pun intended, when we have a bigger budget or when we have more flexibility finance wise, because we're prioritizing house payments right now and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I could easily see it being like a second car, a second Tesla.
Interesting.
Because of the range, which I think will down the, not at first, but years down the road, the Model 3 could be a bottleneck for us with the range. I'm not interested in getting the long range model, but Randy and I have already talked a lot off podcast about why he went with the long range version. And it wasn't even so much about like road trips. I think it was more about like the battery degradation over time.
Yes.
So when you buy the long range, it'll basically still have a decent range 10 years from now.
Right.
Whereas the standard range plus, which we'll be getting, and I'm fine with the 240 mile range, 10 years down the road, it's going to be not that far. So it might actually be kind of troublesome to road trip with that kind of thing, which I don't do often, so I don't care. But
by then, we'll have more supercharger stations out on the road anyway.
And we'll probably have battery replacement options that we don't have now, and we'll likely have even upgraded spec'd Model 3s available by that point, or the pickup truck, like we talked about. There might be... Mm-hmm. We're getting to this point now where there will be almost no reason to keep buying ICE cars over electric, because the range is catching up, and pretty soon the price is going to catch up. And with the autopilot and the safety features and stuff, it's going to start to be a no-brainer. So that I can already see the next decade unfolding, basically. That's what I'm trying to say. Like,
right.
I think
so. You're already living in 2030.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see this.
I'm a futurist. Yeah. I like to see where things are going, and I can tell that the smartphone industry is not going to change very much in the next 10 years. It's going to
But the Samsung Fold
got delayed till 2030. What'll come out first, foldables or full self-driving?
Ooh.
Full
self-driving.
Full self-driving. Because technically, full self-driving is already there. It's just not... It's just... Achievement Unlocked hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
We already have it. We already have full self-driving. We're not worthy enough to pass congressional, approval of letting that be used out in the wild. But we have it, so.
Randy, how long are you planning on keeping this car?
A very long time.
Until it's dead?
So you're going to drive it till it dies too?
I'm gonna hold on to this particular Model 3 at least. I will have it for at least the life of the loan, so 72 months, so 6 years. But even then,
probably keep going.
I'm gonna keep going. That's the whole point of like spending this much money up front. Is that? Let me use a different analogy about Tesla and Apple. The reason why I always stayed with Apple, especially. 6 years ago, when I was like really torn, like should I switch it up a bit? Every year, almost for a while, it felt like you were getting a new phone with the software update.
Right.
You get the same phone, and it just felt new.
I see.
Especially
where you're going.
When we got iOS 7, it's like we got a new phone. I have every anticipation, knowing it's going to happen. The same with the Tesla.
I agree.
Get a new car every couple years with some major updates and stuff like that. I don't see why wouldn't, because the whole point of the Model 3 was you are buying into the tech. People say hardware-wise, Model S, takes the cake for hardware. Mm-hmm. Software-wise, nobody comes close to the Model 3, not even the S. And software is always customizable. We have the hardware that we need to make it – it's future-proofed. I don't see myself keeping it any less than 10 years because it's at least future-proof that long. And all else, if not for the computer, at least the life of the battery. I have a warranty for 8 years on it minimum, and I'm expected to have like at least a solid decade out of it. And some people don't even go a decade with regular gas cars on their vehicles.
No.
So I don't see myself getting rid of it anytime soon. I can't give you an exact number because I don't know what's going to happen next couple years. But I do know I'm going to feel like I'm driving a new car every couple of years when I get these major updates. And then once full self-driving is released to us, I'm set. I'm gonna have YouTube open on my dashboard right there. Watch YouTube and sit bumper to bumper and wherever I gotta go for as long as I'm in San Diego. But even if I move to another big city, traffic is inevitable. So I only care about having the driving. So
it is inevitable.
You got to put Elon Musk on Thanos' head, and he goes, "I am inevitable." Except there's no Iron Man part.
That's right.
I am Elon Musk.
Yeah, but
I am.
Yeah, I think so. The other thing, which is a little bit out there, I understand. It's way down the road. We're talking like. After 5-6 years of owning your Model 3, maybe 7, maybe you'll be in a different place where you're interested in buying either another Tesla or a different Tesla that's not out right now or isn't possible right now. Your first Tesla will become your robo-taxi machine.
That's right.
You're going to just set it to leave the house whenever, and it's going to go drive people around, make you some money, and then come back. And if anyone messes with the car, you have a camera in there. They can find that person. You know, you don't want. I know people were thinking, like, what if they get in the car and they, like, spill a drink or they mess it up or they spray. It's like, you don't want to mess up a car when the car has your credit card, you know?
That's right.
So, like, if someone does try to vandalize the vehicle as they're getting a ride share with it, which is not going to be often, this is going to be like 1%, less than 1% of the time. Then you're going to get a lot of money out of it because that person's going to be like banned from using the service for like 2 years, and they're going to lose like several thousand dollars if they even do something close to that. So, that's not going to happen regularly. But yeah, that was the idea I had in my head. It's like, yeah, we'll own this Model 3 for easily 10 years, and by year 5 or 6, we may just enlist it into robo-taxi and it'll just go off and do its own thing all day. That's it. It doesn't need to go on road trips.
It's basically paying its own taxes, so it's another member of the house. I'm going to claim it as a dependent. It's going to go get a job. It's going to go bring me money every day. It's going to go to work.
It's going to go slave, play video games in its room.
The moment your car actually wakes up on its own and it goes to work and it's more responsible than you, like,
well, you're at home.
I'm like, okay.
Eating popcorn.
Mom, I don't want to go to school. Shut up, Model 3. Go work.
It's time to go make that money.
I totally that's totally, like, we joke about it now, but I genuinely think that's how a lot of Teslas will age. You'll just turn them into old money-making machines, because the ride-sharing thing will not do long road trips, which the standard range plus, as the battery degrades, it will be harder and harder to do a kind of road trip with that sort of thing. So it'll be perfect for just driving people around town and then coming home and charging again. It'll be perfect for that, even if the range is 100 miles off, even if it's just a range of 140 10 years from now. It'll still be a very nice, well-kept car. It'll still be one of the safest on the road. Even if it's 10 years old, and it'll be able to go out there and make you money while you do whatever you want. You don't need to be in it, you know? So I genuinely think that's going to be a potential way that these cars either very, very, very down the road start paying for themselves or help you pay for the next one.
I think in 5 years, I see myself getting another Tesla as is, because at that point, Brittany's car will probably kicked the bucket.
Sure.
So we'll have to get her vehicle, and maybe we'll see what the pickup looks like at that then, or we'll see who knows what will be announced by then. We maybe there's a whole nother, like, a Tesla motorcycle, which is just weird, but hey,
that'd be cool. And he said he wants to make the 3 cheaper, so it might even be you might get a second Model 3, but it'll be like the exact same price as the first one you got, with 50% to 80% more range for the same price, because they want to work on getting these things cheaper. So it'll I think it makes sense that your first Tesla, which is obviously like the most expensive car you've ever bought for all of us, I think it's like on the high end. It makes sense to try to save money and try to not go too far out. But then once you've been a Tesla owner for a long time, you've been driving it for a while, and now you've experienced what it's like to have an EV, then you can decide for yourself, and I think I can predict what I'll want. The second Tesla we buy, we'll want to go a little bit further with the range to make sure that it doesn't degrade as quickly. So basically, first Tesla lasts you 10 years, second Tesla, maybe 15. You know, something like that. Like,
interesting.
If your pickup had a 400-mile range, it would take a long time to get that battery to degrade to a point where it was not easy to take a road trip with it, you know?
Yeah.
So I disagree with both of you. You guys are talking.
It wouldn't be a podcast without Nick disagreeing.
The whole time Nick's like, yeah, absolutely. So you're both wrong. Yeah.
You both suck. Let me tell you why.
Are you going to tell us about the Amex
car? Get a Camry, everyone. Camrys are going to be the future.
What
no.
if American Express made a car?
Oh, I'd buy that thing faster than you could say 1, 2, 3.
Would you buy it faster than a roadster could go to 60 miles an hour?
You know what? I can count to 1, 2, 3 that fast. Yeah. 1.9 seconds.
Why are we wrong, Nick?
So, y'all are talking about like buying it or loaning it and like, you know, keeping it forever.
Yeah, like smart
people. And I'm over here like, yeah, like smart people. Exactly. You guys are the smart ones. You're just wrong. That's all.
Nick just wants to put himself in debt.
Yeah. Well, so I look at my current lifestyle, and you know, your current lifestyle is the best predictor of your future lifestyle.
Sure.
People don't change all that much as, you know, you New Year's resolutions we try to change, but you know, all through November and December you're eating pie. So what makes you think in February you're not going to be eating pie?
Mm-hmm.
I'm always one to want the most recent technology. I'm always the one to, you know, I always have the new iPhone. I always have the new iPad. I have the new MacBook. I'm always upgrading things. I always have the new Apple Watch every year. Buy a new Apple Watch.
Right. Right.
I don't see myself, you know, if you look at a Tesla as like an iPhone 6, you know, like back in 2014, Model 3 was like the coolest thing ever. iPhone 6, coolest thing ever. Now in 2019, it's 5 years old.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be using an iPhone 6 right now. I'd want to be on an iPhone XS.
Right.
And so I'm really looking at the leasing options.
Okay.
I know that they're more expensive and you don't build equity. Believe me, I'm an accountant. I can run amortization tables. I know that it's going to be more expensive.
Nick, did you know that if you lease... No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm really talking to Dave Ramsey right there because he totally listens to our show. I'm fleecing a vehicle. I know. It just the lease would remove the question mark of how much I'd be able to resell the car for. You know, I'm sure I could get a loan and pay a little bit more on the monthly payments, but actually build equity in the car.
Right.
But then at the end of that, you know, after the end of my, you know, loan or at 3 year mark, because I'm thinking about every 3 year I'm going to want to upgrade a Tesla. As if you look at a 2016 Tesla, there's no way in heck I'd want to buy a 2016 Tesla right now. That's just, it's too old. And so every 3 years I want to upgrade. And if you look at like, you know, how much you're paying versus how much equity you're building, it's going to be about a wash, but there's still risk if you buy it outright or buy it with a loan. And then at the end of the 3 years, when you go to resell it, for some reason, you know, everyone and their brother bought a Model 3, and, you know, 2 years from now, they discover all the Model 3s explode when they're hit like a Ford Pinto or whatever, which they don't, but, you know, whatever. There's that risk that you're not going to be able to sell it for that much. And I, as a risk-averse person, I would just much rather pay a little bit lower monthly payment and not build equity in a vehicle and just make that payment. Because that's basically what I do for my iPhone. You know, $70 of my salary is gone every single month just for my iPhone.
Yeah.
And I never, at this point, I'm not thinking, you know, oh, how much is the next iPhone going to be? Or, oh, I need to start saving for that. It's just like, you know what? That's just the expense of life right now. Just that $70 for my phone. And I totally would enjoy doing that with a Model 3. Because then that way, you know, at the end of 3 years, I'm like, oh, well, hey, now the Model Y is available for leasing. I'll just switch over to the Model Y, the car that I actually fit in. What? And then, you know, in another 3 years after
what?
That, I could. But another 3 years after that, like, I could switch to the pickup truck or, you know, whatever. Like, I just feel like it's a lot more flexible instead of just buying one car. So, Randy, you're about to
I wanted to add that my dad drove a Pinto. Fun fact.
Yeah, is he still? He is.
No,
still
he died 20 alive. Years ago. It was very sad and emotional for all of us. Go ahead. I see what your point is, though, Nick. I could see why you're willing to do that, and why you'd want to upgrade to the latest one more often. And I've been tempted by the lease options as well, particularly knowing how small they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Model 3 starts at like $400 a month.
Yep,
to lease. It's pretty crazy. Yep. The only difference in why I don't think it's a fair comparison to the iPhones is if you look at a Model 3 from 2017 and you look at a Model 3 this year or probably even next year, the differences are barely noticeable. You'd have to really know the Tesla Model 3 internally to understand the differences. Externally and experience-wise, I know we're in the experience of the big autopilot and not autopilot thing right now, but to me, as long as the Model 3 you're buying has the capability for level 5 autonomy, then there's not really something else they can add down the road that would be major groundbreaking like the iPhone 10 versus the 6.
I'd still disagree with that.
Okay.
You're looking at it as a time scale equal to smartphones. Every year we get a new smartphone.
Because you compared it
to
smartphones.
I would say that the Teslas... Well, yeah. But I would say that the Tesla's refresh cycle is about 3 years. If you look at the Model S from 2013, you had the ugly grill. You had the, beige interior is kind of weird.
I wouldn't say it's
2016.
Ugly.
Well, it's not ugly, but, it's old.
It's just old. Old's
bad. In 2016, they refreshed
Nick's mind
it to
3 years ago is old.
Exactly. So... I feel like the Teslas are refreshed kind of more in like a 3 year cycle, kind of like a MacBook Pro. Every 4 years we kind of get a MacBook Pro. That's kind of how it's always been. I feel like every 3 years is kind of a good refresh cycle, because if you look back 3 years ago, if you buy a P100D right now, a Model S P100D, as opposed to a P90D, I believe was available in 2016. There are a lot of little differences. You get a lot better full self-driving capabilities with the, 3 computer. And I feel like there's enough features over 3 years that warrants an upgrade, just like an iPhone from year to year.
I'm having a hard time understanding. I think it's getting to the point of law of diminishing returns, though, because once you reach the full self-driving levels with Autopilot 3 or whatever, what can they really add 3 years from now?
Right.
That would be
even just the flexibility. I wouldn't be buying the exact same car every time I renew the lease.
Well, no,
I'd get a different color, different option, maybe even different Model Y. Try the pickup truck for a year.
But Nick, you can get a new color by wrapping and spend no more than $2,000 and just wrap a new color. It's the same thing.
Well,
I want
great,
all of
color,
us,
but like,
I want all of us to do what we're intending. So. Nick, I want you to know I'm not trying to talk you out of the lease, because I actually like, maybe if I was like a bachelor and I was not trying to buy a house.
Ouch. Stupid bachelor. Okay, I see what you're doing.
That's not a roast. I'm just saying, when you're married you have to make decisions as a couple, and Louise doesn't share my enthusiasm for Teslas. She likes them, but not as much as I do. And I would, if I was living by myself and working and making what I was now, I would more than likely do what you're doing. I would probably lease it, because to me, back before I was married, everything was month to month. I didn't care about the long I didn't care about making payments on a house. But as a couple and having to plan for the future and for a family someday and stuff like that, that's why she wants to make these house payments first and then buy the Tesla outright. So I'm 100% on her side, and I understand everything she does, but I'm not trying to say I wish we could do the opposite. I'm simply saying, in my situation, I think buying it outright makes the most amount of sense. However, in your situation, particularly because I know you and you're my friend, I want you to lease them because then I will be able to check out whatever car you're leasing in 3 years.
That's right.
Oh, that's I see. Right. Let's go.
That's right.
Wait, we're friends?
What? No, I changed my mind.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Of course we are.
We're not friends. Change my mind.
Okay.
Randy, you've been real quiet. Speak.
What's Randy's opinion on the leasing?
I thought about the lease, but much like you, Drew, I'm not looking at I know my time in San Diego will be coming to an end in no less than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I am now planning my next big purchase to buy a big old house, not a condo, but a big house, big yard, probably not in California, and customize my dream house to match my dream lifestyle with my car and stuff like that. I don't see myself wanting to stick with a... I don't like having payments. I'm the type of guy who buys the iPhone outright every year. I've been doing that for 2 years now because I don't like payments. I like less... One less thing I have to worry about, one less thing I have to watch my bank account for, the happier I am. And so far, my strategy of reselling the iPhone before the next one comes out has been working, you know, beautifully. So I'm comfortable in that sense of it. But iPhones and Teslas are two different beasts. And that with that, I'm not buying the Tesla outright, but I will eventually pay it off outright. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to hold on to it because it's one less thing I want to worry about. Because the one thing I don't think I'm going to be able to avoid, and I accept this, is taking out a mortgage. So I want to allocate everything for 5 years down the road, Randy, and what he needs to be prepared for, the same way I prepared myself to buy this car 2 years ago. I've been saving for so long that... I put myself in a position that the monthly payment I was making towards my Volkswagen is not that much higher with the Tesla, and it was very strategic that way. It was very intentional, and I know myself better that I will probably get car envy when I see the newest, latest, and greatest, but I think I told this with you guys even before when we were trying the other Model 3s. I don't care what the outside of the car looks like as much because I'm not going to be out there. I'm going to be inside.
Yeah.
I care about the inside. And there's no other car today that gives me what a whole new experience than the Model 3 with all its software. And I'm a guy who was ready to buy in 2019. If the truck was out in force today or something else was out there, it'd be a different conversation. But what I care about is what I'm working with technology-wise, interior. And the Model 3 is perfect as is, and there's nothing between this year's model and the 2022 model that's going to give me a better interior for software because we have everything that we need now, which is ultimately self-driving. I only buy a Tesla because I want the self-driving.
Then I'm going to sleep. Once that's rolled out, I'm out. I'm napping every time.
Grabbing it. I'm watching YouTube. I'm on Twitter. I'm on my phone.
You've built the perfect car. Once it drives itself entirely, there's nothing else you can add, I guess, other than improving the range that I will be. They also got to start rolling out those charge plugs that plug in by themselves. I've seen the prototypes, but they're not available anywhere. And
also the battery, replacing the battery, it's not going to cost the same amount as buying like a new Model 3.
No,
I have every intention of eventually replacing my battery. And buying it out, like getting a brand new battery.
I don't think that's a bad idea.
Three other people that have a Model S told me that's exactly what they're doing once it hits that point. They're like they're saying like, don't get me wrong, Randy, where we're at right now, the battery, it's degrading, but that's natural. It's still holding a great portion of the battery, but I have every intention of replacing it because I'm not going to be spending but a fraction of what I'm spending now if I would be buying a new car outright. I get the full self-driving. I get the and then they're grandfathered into the supercharging.
Exactly,
so when you talk about like just daily expenses, they don't have to pay anything for supercharging no matter where they go, and that's more valuable to them than buying a different hardware 3 years from now. They're okay with the fact they get free supercharging. They're okay with the fact that that premium interior connectivity, which gives you free streaming on everything, web browsing. That comes standard, and you don't have to pay for it. We, myself included, starting with me and you guys later, will have to pay for the streaming. It's not free anymore, but they're grandfathered in. So they wear their options like, okay, I'm okay with just buying a new battery, and that's the only hardware I need because the software in the Model S is what I need it to be. Likewise for me, I'm okay with everything what the car does hardware. If it drives itself, I'll buy a new battery down the road because the Model 3 won't be my last Tesla. It's just my dream car today. I will get another one down the road that will be a family one. I'm sure I'll get an X or something else when I start becoming a family guy for it. But yeah, I want to buy this car off as quickly as possible so I don't have to have a monthly payment because I don't like subscriptions. I don't
You're just
like
my
for
wife
that stuff.
Which I never thought I'd say.
Minimal.
Well, thank you, Drew.
Very nice.
I feel so flattered. I'm blushing.
No, she's like legit. I totally like tried to pitch the loan argument to her. I was like, so like if we paid this much down, this is how much it would cost a month. And I won't say the specifics, but I'll basically say it was nothing. It was like something we could have easily covered. And she was against it simply because it was a monthly thing. And she just did not want a loan. She didn't want to go to a bank to have to buy the car. So she was like, nope, we're going to wait until we can buy the whole thing outright, which we can now. We could actually buy a Model S right now outright. But houses exist. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So
exactly.
You have other priorities.
The house is first. And separate topic from tech, she wants to buy multiple houses and rent them out and have like lots of passive income. So
you just tell her you want to buy multiple Teslas and have the robotaxis pay for themselves.
Once robotaxi comes out, we'll have a different argument. But yeah, it's not this day. Once that rolls out, I could be like, well, honey, these cars pay for themselves. Really, just it's passive income. You just buy up a bunch of Model 3s and have them drive all around town. It's easy. But I also think like the market of Teslas 5-10 years from now is going to be totally different from right now. So the ranges will be better, the prices will be better, everything's going to improve.
Naturally.
They will all likely just start including full self-driving by default, and it won't even be an extra purchase like it is now. So it plus with the Gigafactory, your battery replacement you're talking about, which you may have to make after what 7-8 years of use probably.
Yeah.
Maybe
it'll probably be cheaper to replace the battery 7 years from now than it is today.
Oh yeah,
because
absolutely.
Of the lithium.
That's the tech in us and the tech in them that it gets cheaper as time goes on. Everything's going to become cheaper.
So
that's just how it works.
I don't know exactly how much it is to replace the battery, but it will you're right. It'll definitely be cheaper than a new car.
Yeah.
And unless there's some kind of drastic design change they make to the Model 3 in the next 10 years that makes it worth upgrading all over again, I'm just trying to imagine what they could do, and I'm having a hard time understanding what.
Yeah, if it is, I'm sure I would have no issue selling it because we were talking about before even we went live.
Yeah.
We can't even. They announced used Model 3s under used inventory. And
just today, yeah.
And now it's like, I can't see it. You can see it for whatever. I can't. But like those things are, no one can hold a Model 3 in inventory used long enough. People are buying them. And
yeah, this morning there was a ton, and I checked just now, and there is like a quarter as much as this morning.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so I don't think I'll have an issue selling
Model 3s a day.
I believe it. Elon said, demand is not a problem.
Yep,
this is true.
So here's the last thing I want to bring up for both of you guys. Randy, how is your insurance working?
What do you mean, how's it working?
It's a good question.
Well?
So is it going to be going up? Because Elon talked quite a bit about a potential in-house Tesla insurance program at the
event. I doubt they'll match my USAA.
Okay. Is it going to go up or whatever? Or how
it is
going to
go up, but I was seeing other people get quotes, like when they go through Geico or Allstate or something, and they're like, oh, yeah, it went up $400, $500 or something. And mine's going up just shy over $100.
Okay.
So
mine's
that's because,
doubling.
I can see it. I understand.
Having been in my car.
Yeah, well, your car, like, they should pay you to drive the car, really.
We get negative insurance rates on our cars.
Negative insurance
rates. No, like, fun fact, we plan on selling one or both of our cars when we get the Tesla, and it will cover the paint job.
Outstanding.
That's how much money
and
we
could buy in today's evaluation.
You're getting the red one.
We're getting...
Oh, my God.
We don't know.
Yeah, exactly, my insurance is not going up that much at all, really. It's actually going to be... I'm paying a little bit more, but that's because it's a newer vehicle, and it's an expensive vehicle. But all things considering, because I've been driving for so long, and I'm a good boy driver, whatever rate they call that.
Good boy.
No, it's not affecting anything. I'm not a high risk for it, so my premium is going up a little over $100 a month. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's okay.
It's a big factor because I think a lot of people don't know about going into a Tesla. Yeah, so, the insurance rate will most likely get a lot higher of whatever car you're currently driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's an expensive car.
Mm-hmm.
Do either of you have that like camera that the insurance company puts in your car and you can like get a discount because you're like a good driver or whatever? Have you ever seen those things?
My car doesn't even have air conditioning, so...
Well, it's like a third part. It's like it looks like a dash cam that you stick up there.
I know what
you're
talking about.
It's given to you by the insurance company.
I feel like Tesla should have that natively.
Yeah, and so that's I was listening to another podcast with one of my quasi friends, Sean. He was talking about how they have all of the data there. They have 8 cameras. They know how many times you launch the car. They know how many times you drive through a corner real tightly because there's IMUs and stuff inside the car.
And your miles.
They have all of the data, so they could really tailor a insurance perfect for you. So if you are a very safe driver, and even when it's an autopilot, you're still aware and you're still looking and you're not on your phone, and if you don't launch the car very often or whatever. Well, that's okay.
Let's just say I haven't been in an accident that I caused.
Okay. There you go.
Well,
I
just think it's interesting because you could get real cheap insurance with all that info. Go ahead.
You'd hope so. I think the reason it's more expensive is because Tesla has not been around for very long, and because their parts are not that easily obtainable.
And body shops really gouge the insurance companies.
That
They're
too.
Like, oh, fix this one scratch on the bumper. That'll be $6 million.
Yeah, and just the parts themselves are not as plentiful as other cars. But I always thought, leading up to the Model 3 purchase, that your insurance would be lower because of how safe of a car it is. Like all of the safety measures put in. I thought they would have.
I think it'll get there.
I feel like they should be like, okay, well, the chances of this car causing an accident are quite low. Being in an accident's a different topic, but.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why the Tesla insurance is going to be so cheap, because Tesla knows, hey, our cars, are already 4 times safer than the average driver. So
and they
got to
get
if
better
you are
at
launching
repairs. Yeah.
Yeah. And even if you are sleeping, and even if you are, on your phone while you're driving, it's still probably going to be cheaper than Geico,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I'm, for my specific situation, I'm lucky because USAA is so restricted and it's
right.
so in-house.
Right.
I acknowledge that because anywhere else I was looking at, just for, giggles and curiosity more so, I saw how much of a jump it was going to be. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is also the good driver, and this is also, if you're a veteran, and this is also if you're above this age. And I was like, that's going up $300-$400. And I'm like, that's too much. But I would 100% hear whatever Tesla has to offer as an in-house thing, because if I can do, I would like to have, minimalism also with my finances. And if I could keep everything in a single, bucket, so to say, I'm okay with that. I almost took the in-house financing for the loan, but they told me my business relationship wouldn't have actually been done with Tesla. It was going to be done with either U.S. Bank or Wells Fargo. So my account would have been with them. I was like, well, if that's the case, and I don't have an account with either of those two banks, or I was like, all right, I'm just going to stick with, Navy Federal then. But if they had something that was all done completely in-house, everything, I would have probably done everything with Tesla just so I can have one dedicated monthly vehicle payment
sure.
that goes towards them, and it's consistent, and there you go.
Well, they can include it with the lease, like the iPhone upgrade program.
Ooh. There you go. Ooh. Yeah. True. I like it.
Incentivize it. Tesla Care. Tesla Care Plus. Yeah, I think we did the math because they're always trying to sell you on this. When you switch to electric, you save more money from gas. But the insurance kind of compensates it because we, in particular, drive cars that are so dang cheap and they're old. They are very cheap to insure. I think our car insurance payments just got lowered because of how old they were. The other month, they would just send us a letter and they were like, all right, it's cheaper now. And I'm like, oh, dang, this is going to make it even harder. But we did the math on how much money we'd be saving by switching to electric cars instead of paying for gas, and then looked at how much more we'd be paying on insurance, and it was still more overall. So whenever whenever on the site we see the old, here's the potential savings, I'm like, okay, ignore that. That's not going to count for us, because while we'll be spending a lot less on gas, we'll be spending a lot more on insurance, to the point that it's still a couple $100 more expensive a year to drive this car than our gas car. So, yeah, I tried that argument, people, for those who were curious.
You know what's interesting is that longevity, though, that those numbers are supposed to change. So your insurance will drop over time because of the life of the vehicle and your driving history.
Exactly.
Also factors. So it's more expensive today. Everything, regardless of how you cut it, everything when buying a Tesla is more expensive today. It saves you money the longer down the road with it.
In every way possible.
Yeah. In every way. Mm-hmm. So, because then now the insurance will drop because when you're insuring a vehicle, it's not because of you being a risk. You're insuring the vehicle because based off of what potential cost factors would be
to them,
fix the vehicle.
If you got in an accident,
it's more expensive.
Fault.
Yeah. Right. That's them covering their own and stuff like that. And ultimately, the insurance company for vehicles, it's their job, their sole purpose. It's their job to keep you, the driver, from getting sued.
Right.
So
right.
If you have a vehicle that's overpriced and your insurance isn't covering what can legally protect you, liability-wise, they can only protect you up to a certain amount. And then after that, you are liable. You can be personally sued for the rest of it, whether it's through Tesla, because let's say you get an accident and now they underquoted you. And Tesla is making the repairs. And they're like, well, actually, it's this much more. And if you go into this financial hole, you're not just saving yourself from getting sued from the other driver, but also from potentially the lien holder. If you are taking a lease or loan through Tesla, it's all about protections all around. So insurance companies do kind of push a little bit more above and beyond. So that way there's a legal protection from you. So that way you don't pay anything out of pocket. You're not the one who's going to get sued. It's the insurance company at that point that gets sued. So it's more of a legal protection for you with that. Mm-hmm. So because Teslas are so expensive, there's a lot more equity at stake about trying to get money out of that driver or that side of the house. Mm. So they're going to charge you a little bit more because they're going to go and bat for you a little bit harder on it if there was ever an incident, whether it's something as small as a rear end bumper to bumper in a parking lot to a 5-car collision on a major freeway and you just happen to be stuck in the middle and you couldn't do anything about it. But even then, now that I have an EV, I'm going to get one of those little stickers that goes on my car and
true.
I'm going to drive
HOV.
HOV.
Oh, and I think that's a good selling point.
I'm so excited. That's my most excited factor. It's like, ooh,
that's why he bought a Tesla, ladies and
that's
gentlemen.
It. That's the only reason.
Nothing else.
We were driving
just the HOV sticker
on our
HOV
way to sticker, the... That's it. Yeah, on our way to the beach last time we went, there was an accident in front of us. And when we finally got ahead of it, we saw it was a Model 3. We were like, oh, it's so sad to see it all wrecked. A problem I'm going to experience that, Nick, you should also be aware of. Randy doesn't have to worry about this. I've watched a few younger YouTubers talk about their Model 3. And if they have to send them to service centers... Tesla cannot give you a loaner car unless you're over 25, which a YouTuber I watched who was, I think, 23 and had a Model 3 talked about that. And he needed some work done on his car because he found some manufacturing issues with it. And he needed to, like, call his parents to pick him up from the service center, which was like hours away, because they were like, this is going to take, you know, 4 or 5 days to work on.
Just like, live at the service center.
Which, if you were over 25, they'd be like, have a Model S, you know, use this for the next 5 days.
I think that's some type of federal rule.
It's a law, yeah. You can't rent a car if you're under 25. So Tesla, it's out of Tesla's control. But some people were complaining because they said other car brands would pay, if you were under 25, they would pay for your Uber or your Lyft. And Tesla doesn't do that, and maybe they will later, but it's just something to consider.
Well, I'll just have the robo-taxi take me wherever I need to go, right?
Hopefully this won't matter much longer. But I was going to ask Randy, as he's the one who's buying the Model 3, did you have to get insured for the Model 3 before you bought it, or do you wait until it's delivered?
Either or. I have until you when you buy a new vehicle, at least state law, I think it's across the board, but state law is you have 30 days after picking up the vehicle to get it insured.
Yeah, because you sent us that screenshot, and I was looking over the because these are screenshots we don't get to see very often, and it said the delivery appointment scheduled and the car and what you need to bring, and they keep it very simple. Is that everything you need to bring? Or is there more?
See which one. If it's whatever I sent you, then yes.
There's only three things. It's your driver's license, proof of auto insurance, and then it says for a current vehicle or your new purchase, and then final payment in the form of check, if not submitted online. So you can pay for it online?
You can't.
What's a check?
Yeah.
What? You can.
What's a computer?
Because I have a checkbook, but I don't like using it.
Yeah, don't. Don't do a checkbook. But for me, well, no, that's not true. You could do a check. When online, what they mean by that is it is that simple. Yes, I only need my driver's license, proof of insurance. But the thing is, I already submitted my proof of insurance. You could do it all online. Your profile, you can upload everything. So I uploaded my insurance of my current vehicle, and that's good enough. Mm-hmm. I also uploaded this quote that I got, visually showing a quote I got of $7,000 from my Jetta from CarMax. Because Tesla offered me $6,000, they offered me $7,000, so they matched. They're like, all right, we'll give you $7,000. Nice. So that I uploaded that. I uploaded my auto insurance. I uploaded my driver's license. It's all done. Mm-hmm. They'll just need a one last verification when I go pick up that I am the person who submitted these documents,
right.
You know, online. It's just a validation at that point. But everything's already effectively done. What they mean by online is, you can write a check if you want. You could do a cashier's check. You can do a money order if you want. But you can also, what I'm doing is I'm just going to do a transaction. They're going to take my debit card information and basically do like a swipe. So that's where like you could do Apple Pay if you want to do Apple Pay. Well, I'm going to call my bank and have them release that amount because they're going to be aware.
Well, I just asked because we're planning on buying ours outright, so I don't. Yeah, I'm going to have to call my bank in advance.
Call your bank and say, listen, I'm about to...
It's all going.
It's going away. Yeah, all of it.
Everything.
And so
I promise.
And your account might still get flagged and all that stuff, but it might not. Because everyone I've talked to who did it, they're like, yep, as long as you put your bank in the know, they're not going to flag it as fraudulent, someone stealing from you.
I just want to know how that delivery works. Is it like on the truck when you're filling all this out or showing them the proof, and then if it doesn't clear, they don't take it off the truck?
Well, guys, you have to stay tuned to the next episode of Find Out, because I don't know.
Yeah, I'm asking these questions because I want you to pay attention when it's happening so you can give us every, like, tell
us Randy.
Where the sun is, tell us where Jupiter is, you know, tell us the temperature inside and outside, and tell us when they take the car off the truck and when they check for the verification stuff, because... I mean,
precise
time
stamps.
Before I got on, I spoke with you guys. I was actually on the phone with his name's Brandon from Tesla out over at the Gigafactory. He was on the phone with me.
Ooh.
And we were verifying because he actually updated my profile because there was a misunderstanding about the. I applied for a loan through Tesla as well. I applied a loan through a couple people and they thought that I was going through Tesla still. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Because they were trying, like, all right, here's all we need. Because if you take a loan through Tesla, it's one less thing you need to have. It's all already ready to go. You just show up,
right?
Drop off the keys for the trade-in, they paid off and you're about your merry way. They told me it's going to be less than 30 minutes total. Keys. No, I'm sorry. I'm dropping off my actual keys
for
my Volkswagen. Right. And then they give me my card. And then there's that. But so we updated the information. But then at that point, he was like, all right, we need to get the trade-off amount. What's the payoff amount for the car? Blah, blah, blah. We're getting all that money situated. But I asked him on the phone. I was like, where's my car right now? Like my actual VIN number car. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, it already left the Gigafactory. It's in transit. It's on its way to you right now. So.
Oh, that's exciting. Wow.
He's like, do you have a UPS tracker I could
plug really? In? Give me, like, the car has GPS in it, right? Just give me that.
Yeah, they won't let me activate the, I can't also, activate the Tesla. Truck
tell me what the mileage is, like, the second you get in. Like, will it be at zero?
Zero.
Or zero. Because I know after they build them, they take them on a test track really quick. I want to know if it's
so they reset the odometer after that.
How do you reset?
It's software.
If it was software, couldn't anyone activate it?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a federal offense to tamper with the odometer.
Yeah, but that's why I'm asking how they do it after the test track.
Well, they probably have there's a diagnostic for it. They have computers.
What if you hit the factory reset button? put it back to its original start. Okay, zero odometer, miles. 0 miles.
Only thing I need to be aware of is how to get my computer. Man, it's weird to say, but how to get it to hard reset if it glitches out on me.
You push down on both the buttons.
While you're driving
the
down
wheel.
The freeway, push down on both the buttons.
People have done this. I'm not serious. I'm not kidding. Like,
oh, really?
Snazzy. There's a thing on Teslas where the screen can freeze. It's not often, but it can happen. And there's a way to force reset the display, which is the two little wheels on the steering wheel that move with your thumbs. You push down on both of them and hold them, and it will reboot the display. The car will keep working. You can still press the throttle. You can still drive. You can still use blinkers. But it'll just be so a little scary because that display is going to be off. And you're just going to be like, how fast were you going,
you're
sir?
You're going to forget how to normally drive. I'm flying blind.
It shouldn't take long. But use I've seen people sloops. Bring it up because I've watched like every Tesla video on YouTube. And people bring that up. They were like, if you're in an emergency and for whatever reason you need to reset the display, you just hold down on both those. It's like the factory reset button on
iPhones. I might do it just to see what it looks like for no reason. I'm just
at 80 miles an hour.
No, yes. No. Oh, no, absolutely not, Andrew. Ew. Gross.
This is a joke. Yeah,
I'm going to put myself parked where there's like rubber cushion all around me, and I'm just going to stand still and just do it.
Like a Walmart empty parking lot.
Yes.
No, because that's where the homeless like to come out at night.
Well, the car won't hurt.
No, but the car, but they might hurt my car.
So it has an anti defense mechanism.
I'm gonna haunt.
Moving
them.
On.
I love looking at the frunk on the semi. It's so tiny. It's hilarious.
Yes, it's so cute.
Like you could put your little briefcase in there.
Oh man, I'm so.
Could
it I'm
go
so
straight from the business trip to trucking a semi. To
I think Nick should lease the semi. For just 3 years. I think that's the only Tesla that will fit you comfortably.
That's why maybe. I kind of want to lease it. Like I want to get the Y isn't going to come out till 2021, right? And my little
cheap
Escape
one.
Is like that. No, I was I'm fully ready to buy the $70,000, the most expensive Y.
Well, you're not buying $70,000. You're leasing for $900 a month.
Now I don't want. I was going to buy it outright. My strategy has since changed.
But we got impatient.
Yeah, we got a little impatient, and my car's getting kind of old.
I blame both of you, actually. I wasn't that into Teslas until you guys brought that Model 3 up here, and then it changed everything.
That's how it works. I just want you to see it firsthand. Mr. I have a Tesla flag is like, all right, well, let's put that flag to use. Hey, speaking of, how does one go about getting such merch like that?
All of them were gifts. I've never bought any Tesla merch. Nick sent me the battery pack. My sister and her husband sent me the flag.
I need to get the
flag. They also sent me the toy car. They also sent me the mug. They just know I like Tesla, so anytime there's a Christmas or birthday, they just give me another Tesla-related. The T-shirt.
I'm going to put it on my wish list.
That was also a gift. So yeah, I've never bought one piece of Tesla merchandise. And
so I need to get one because I'm going to get the flag, and in this order, I'm going to have American flag, Marine Corps flag below it, Tesla flag below it.
You could close the trunk of the Model Trinity. 3 on the flag when you first get it, so you drive around and it flows.
It's a cape.
Instead of like just married, it says just bought a Tesla.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
It can work.
Yeah, wow. I probably would have got the Mac Pro if it weren't for you two. I would have been like,
"Who needs a Mac Pro?
New Apple product.
Don't get a Mac Pro."
Luckily, there's a very long-term loyal Talosa fan who joins all the streams and stuff. Who is getting? Yeah, he's renting a Model X right now. He spends a lot of his job on the road, and once the Model Y comes out, he has a reservation. He's going to switch to that. And he's in Chicago,
we'll get in contact with him.
Yeah, I was like, as soon as you get your Model Y, we need to do a meetup of some kind because I want to do videos on it and drive it, and plus meet the guy. Yes. He seems very friendly, so it'll be fun.
We're gonna have to have a big reunion.
What's that?
Which long-term fan is this?
I don't know if you know him, but he goes by Sup Sup Hey Hi.
Okay,
but
no. Yeah, I remember Sup Sup.
Okay,
nope.
There you go. He's a nice guy.
I don't. Hi Sup Sup.
Someone in the Discord just got their Model 3 today.
So good. What?
They're sending pictures. Ooh. They got a blue with white interior.
Ooh.
Oh, looks nice.
That's enough, Nick. Okay.
Nice.
So thank you for listening to the Talos of Tesla podcast.
Before we actually roll out here, I do want to do a quick plug because it's relevant.
Plug.
As of recording this, I announced it publicly, but by the time you hear this, it's going to come out the same day. So I got a new show, podcast, audio only, called Going Indie. And the trailer just went out today, but you're going to hear this, and the full first episode will be out. The first episode, exclusive, depending. I'll probably time it where this episode will come out first.
And there'll be a link in the description below. So you guys can just click that below.
The first episode will be with yours truly, Drew. He's my first guest.
I'm back.
So if you are interested in
Randy,
getting to know
what happened? We recorded something like a year ago. I still haven't seen High Nor Halo.
That was us testing it, and now we're getting a feel for it, Nick.
Oh, okay. I was just the beta tester. That suits me.
Get off the beta testing and I'll take you more serious. Just kidding.
Oh, ouch.
But yeah, hey, listen, if you are interested in learning about Drew's like life, it has nothing to do with any of what we just talked about right now, getting to know him personally. If that's something that's interested into you, check out the podcast. If you could care less and you just like hearing about tech, then you know, never mind. But it's Going Indie, and if you want to search it, it's Going In and then the letter D, and it's the only one on your favorite streaming. And speaking of your podcast, don't forget to rate this one.
Leave a review.
Guys, what are you thinking? Five stars. We want 5 stars.
Write a review if you enjoy.
Marquez, come on the show. Air Power.
Write a review.
Dead.
Thank you for the reviews,
How
guys.
How about those Pixel 4 leaks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we should talk about this. This is the Talos of Tech podcast.
Nope. Bye, everyone. Thank you for watching.
Bye.
No. No, I want to talk about the Pixel.
So the Pixel 4, I love it because it has a face. This is the only reason why
I'm done with you.
Pixel
I'm done.
4.
The Pixel 3 XL had a face. It was staring at you on the front.
It's like the big eye, little eye, wonky, like,
what?
Just staring at you with the mouth.
Next week.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye.